Craig, how's it going?
Good, man. How's it going, Andy?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I was hoping to like start the show off a little bit differently, having me start, and then you just immediately pass it back to me.
Super.
but no, it's good. I think we're both in similar spots where, for me, it was a trip out to Denver for the FanDuel Fantasy Baseball Championship, where Giant Squid, who is one of the partners in the company, a great screen name, by the way, ended up coming in second. So that was awesome. But yeah, now it's like getting caught back up on things. So it's always a little bit hectic the first couple of days back. But yeah, you're coming back from camping trip, right?
Yeah. It was kind of a long weekend, like, 4 days, give or take, 3.5 days. It was amazing. Great to get away, unplug, didn't look at email, didn't look at Slack, anything for a few days was really nice. Come back to an inbox from hell. But, it was cool. I honestly just unplugged. So it was really nice. And then, have a couple of days of pretty intense work. But at this point, we're talking on Wednesday and I'm pretty much caught up. So yeah, all good there.
How long have you been able to just shut the laptop for and not look at the phone without that causing its own anxiety? Because it's not as though like you come back and they're still going to be busy. There's going to be a lot you have to deal with, but you have to at least have a decent comfort level with how things are going to run without you to just still not worry about having to check.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first real time I've taken like completely off. Like I don't even have the computer with me in a while. I take a lot of like half days off. I take a lot of half days off, like my wife and I'll go out to lunch and that's, 2.5 hours or something like that here. I'll, kind of bug out on Friday or I'll play hooky and go to the lake with the kids or something, especially in the summer. But I don't take a lot of entire days or multiple days off. This is the first one in quite a while. And I think everybody knew kind of where we are with things and that was good. And then, kind of had like the qualifier of like, if the shit really hits the fan, you can text me. And that didn't happen. So.
Yeah. Cause I feel like there are times when I'm able to, and it more just depends on where we are in the year. Like if it's in the middle of a season, there's not a lot going on. A few days off won't be the end of the world by any means. Like we've got a strong team in place where like they'll keep things going and sure there might be questions and they can, worst case, they can call me, like tell me I need to deal with something. But yeah, with these trips, it's funny because I mean, at this one we had, I guess, five of the seven partners at it. And there were actually like a good number of our subscribers at the event. And it's like, if something's going wrong, like someone's going to tell me there. So I don't feel that bad about having to stay on top of it. But yeah, I feel like that's really the goal of just knowing that, all right, you don't have to completely remove everything from your plate and delegate it all away, but enough so that you don't have to constantly be worrying about like, oh, what are these fires that I'm going to have to put out when I get back? Because you just always hear the advice of, oh, you just shut off the phone, shut off the computer, don't bring the computer, whatever. But like, the business has to be in a pretty stable spot where that doesn't cause more anxiety than actually dealing with the emails along the way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I have a goal. I mean, so it's August, the end of August. I have a goal to take the entire week between Christmas and New Year's off. And so just kind of working up towards that. So I'll probably take another like 4 day weekend sometime, in the fall as like a test run, and then be able to take that time around the end of the year. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, like from a sales perspective, nothing gets done then. Our developers typically take time off, so we're not shipping a lot of big features. So it should be a pretty good time to take off.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, speaking of time away, time off, I know you have talked about wanting to do a team retreat. And obviously, that's not people completely checking out. It's still focused on business, but it's everyone getting together and getting out at least of the normal day-to-day of running the business. Where are things at with that?
Yeah. So we, very good segue, by the way. We pretty much have finalized things for our team retreat. So it'll be in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, middle, like third week of September. The way it's going to work for us, it's going to be remote just because COVID is definitely still happening. And I think there's the element of, am I comfortable getting together with 16 other people who are traveling from literally all over the world? And are they comfortable with the same thing? But then also like, are we all able to travel to a place, and can we all get back? And they, like the answer to the last one is no, in a couple of instances. And so that was like, that's just it's not an option. And the first one, we surveyed the team, like sent a questionnaire and everybody came back with some degree of like, yeah, I would go to an in-person retreat, but like, I'm not totally cool with it, you know? And so just kind of made the decision, especially like the Delta variant, like, okay, let's have a remote retreat. Maybe the spring will be different, but at this point, probably next summer is our option for an in-person retreat. So we're doing a virtual retreat and it's going to be over 3 days and it's going to be 3 hours each day. So did a bunch of research, talked to, you know, some people and friends that have done these. Some of them were like all day, every day for a week. And I was like, I am not going to do that. You know, like I don't want to subject anyone else to that. And each of the days will have kind of three components. One will be some kind of like planning because it's right at the end of the third quarter. And this is a whole nother episode, but like we did rocks this quarter for the first time and they've been successful and we're going to do them again, but we're going to call them OKRs. It's the same thing, right? But like, I think for me, OKRs kind of cascade down to the company and then the team and then the individual level. So like, we're going to do that. And a part of the team retreat is going to be either mapping those out or rolling them out to the of like, hey, this is OKRs, this is what it's going to be, this is why we're doing it. No, this is not me grading you and your, you know, your value as an individual, but this is just how we are going to do goal setting and tracking that over time. So a part of it is going to be kind of strategic stuff into the fourth quarter. Part of it is going to be breaking out into small groups, kind of by you know, say division, to kind of workshop on things that we just don't have time to do regularly. And that's not a huge amount of time. Like, all in all, for the whole retreat, that's maybe 2 hours, you know, of time, because it's only 3 hours for 3 days. And then the other part of it is each day we're going to have a fun activity. And so, like, we have a magician coming in to kind of like do a magic show. Airbnb has these experiences, you know, where you can have someone, and like one of them is like a professional like coffee maker, like coffee roaster coming in to talk about how to make like really great coffee, or like some kind of team building experience, like treasure hunt kind of game. And then Sherry Walling is going to come talk to us about like mental health and team and things like that. So each day we'll have one of each of those kind of components. So a fun thing, a kind of individual team kind of thing, not individually, you know, like division kind of thing. And then a kind of whole company vision planning kind of item.
For this, you obviously wouldn't want to set aside that much time for the full team every week, but for some of the things you could, like for that, the workshopping, like it's easy for days to get filled up and for things to get busy. But if you find enough value in a few hours of that, do you think that's something you could experiment with just making more part of the week?
It really is not so different than my normal day. You know, like I'm on 3 or 4 hours of calls a day. And so it'll be pretty much like that, maybe plus, you know, some sales calls or something like that. And each group has their own call each week. Most of them are an hour. And so, yeah, it's really not that much more than we do already. It's maybe just kind of concentrated, and where and when those meetings happen is a little different.
How much of it do you think is just bringing people into that process a bit more than they may be in a normal week?
I think that's a fair amount of it. Yeah. Something else that kind of gets to this is like, we're 16 people now. Sorry, we're 17 people now that would be like on our Monday team meeting, right? And so we had like the whole like 4x4 grid in Zoom all filled up this past week. It was pretty cool. But one thing that I think we're starting to see is like everyone being involved in a team meeting is cool, but sometimes like not super helpful or relevant for everybody. And so I think one thing we're going to start doing, talking about like regular meetings, is probably have like a whatever leadership kind of meeting, right? Where there's 6 or 7 people that are the people that are kind of running each, or, you know, leads or managers of each group. And, you know, we'll probably make a bunch of kind of decisions and strategize and plan things. And then like the whole team meetings will be more of like, hey, this is what we're doing and this is why and those kind of things. So like, we're not doing that yet, but I can imagine, you know, maybe into the fourth quarter where we'll break that, you know, our team meeting is on Monday, maybe every other week it will be just kind of leadership meeting. And then the other week, it'll be a whole team to kind of dive into all those things that are going on.
Yeah, this is something we've experimented with a bit ourselves. And the way our process used to work is it would be Matt and I as like the leadership meeting every Monday, going over everything, figuring out what we would do. And then we'd have a meeting with the rest of the team to kind of tell them about like what was going on. And as things got bigger, yeah, we noticed that like, yeah, these full team calls weren't super productive because it was like you couldn't go too deep onto an issue with one person because it would just make the call way longer for everyone else. And that would make it more boring. They would tune out. But like sometimes you do need to go deeper. And so, yeah, we ended up doing separate team calls where you could better diagnose where things were at and ask questions. They could ask questions and follow up with it. But the big change that we're trying to make now is rather than us making as many decisions in that call with just Matt and I and now with Ben in there as well, it's trying to have those decisions happen on the call with the team so that they can better understand the why of what we're working on, like give feedback, because it's trying just not to be too top down. But there are obviously some things like bigger picture stuff that's going to be leadership decisions. But there's still a lot around the execution that we do want the input of the team on. And we want them to like understand the process a bit more. And like I noticed, you know, from my experience with a group especially, it was like we had the retreat and it was great because it felt like everyone kind of better understood what was going on with the big picture of the company. And I think it's a forcing function for that, but I feel like there are ways to try to work towards that more regularly, but I'm not sure. I mean, for your retreat, like what would you see? Is it something where it's a practical, like we need to talk about these things, so let's do this once a quarter, twice a year, whatever it may be, to just like we have to functionally get on the same page? Or are you hoping there's going to be more of, I don't know if I go so far as to say like a culture change, but sort of like, do you expect this to have a lasting impact in just how the team works?
More the latter. I hope that we're all mostly already on the same page. Like I'm just a big talker and communicator. And so like, and some people on the team definitely are and some definitely aren't. And so I know they get frustrated with me if they're not. But like, I hope everyone is on the same page. Because I think for like our size group, we kind of have a lot of meetings. But the goal is just to make sure everyone's on the same page all the time. Because it's like helpful for their productivity, but also helpful for their like sense of belonging and purpose, you know? So like, hey, we're doing this thing because it needs to plug into what sales is doing over here. Or, hey, we're going to fix this bug because support is, you know, seeing a lot of this. So like, I think that we try to talk about the why behind what we're doing a lot, but because it's just important. I'll give a shameless plug for us and our tool. I do this via an internal podcast a lot too. So we have our own podcast where things that like, I don't need to take up 10 minutes in a meeting, but if I have something I want to share with everybody and it's longer than like a quick Slack message, I'll just record it and send it out via podcast and everybody gets it. And, you know, they all listen or they almost all listen. And it's just a nice way for me to say like, hey, this is a thing. This is why this thing happened earlier in the week, or this is something I learned from an experience that we had. Just as like a way to supplement that kind of knowledge transfer and share like a lot of vision kind of stuff. You know, like when we raised our round, like, hey, this is what it means for us. And a lot of times we do that before a meeting so that the meeting is more productive. You know, so like, hey, I talked about this in the podcast. Anybody have any questions about it? And then you could just have the discussion.
Yeah, because that's what we've morphed I think I mentioned it before, but yeah, I was talking to Sejan Patel a bit about how he structured his team or his teams as they've grown significantly. And I think the standard thing is everyone starts out with like one meeting, everyone there, and it just gets unwieldy. So it's like they do their all hands, and that's more of updates on, hey, here's what everyone else is up to. It's not to make decisions, it's to just give that weekly update of here's what's going on, here's why we made those decisions. And what we've done is just have a show and tell kind of part where it's like, if Will has made a big improvement to the NFL model, he's going to talk about what he did, share the results, answer questions, and kind of just talk about that. This week, I think it'll be Ben talking a bit about, this is like super boring stuff, it sounds like, but it's like a tool to make it easy to match, like fix name matching issues for players. That's one of like just the biggest headaches. And it's for the most part required a developer to do that now until now. And with this new tool, our support team can go in when they notice an issue, see if it's a name matching thing. If it is, they can fix it and go about their day. So it's just stuff like that where it's like, okay, like here's what other people in the company are working on. And then that's when I can have my one time to just like hammer home, like we're getting ready for the redesign. We're getting ready for football. It's going to be really busy. And it's like, focus on the message of like what we're working on, like what phase we're in on the product, what we're focused on. I think it's helped a lot of just giving that one touch point to just realign the team and just remind them of what's going on and what the others are doing. But we'll see how it shapes up as we experiment more with it.
This is like the thing at this point, you know? So like how we communicate, how everyone is on the same page, how you and I as like the leaders of the companies like share the vision and make sure everybody knows what it is and that we're all working towards it. Like when you have 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 people, like that leverage is super high, you know, or the lack of leverage when everyone's, you know, pulling a different direction, then like you're just stuck. And I don't know. For me, like it's just super important. It's just super important. And it's super hard.
Oh, for sure. And it's, to me, the probably early in my career is when I really would think about this more. And I was like, I just didn't get why it mattered as much. And I think if you have a company that is more top down, a lot of contractors just kind of showing up, following the spec, doing their job, checking out, it's not necessary. And I think you can build good companies that way, but there's got to be someone in there just making all the decisions, making sure people are doing it and checking in. And like, I think what the type of organization that I want to build is one where there's more authority delegated out so that I don't have to make all the decisions. I don't have to follow up on everything. Like people can go about their job, know what they need to do and do it without having to me to check everything every day and all of that. And like we'll still have the casual check-ins from the team leads, which is basically just like Matt and I to just make sure things are on track, but more to like answer questions and help move things along. But like I think it's if you don't have that alignment on where things are going, that's when it's just really hard to remove yourself more from the business or not remove yourself from the business, but move yourself from the day to day as much. And like, that's really just what I'm ultimately working towards. We've talked a good amount about delegation and what we're trying to build. And you were mentioning that, yeah, you want to be able to completely take that week off between Christmas and New Year's. And I feel like one, that's a smart goal because everyone else takes that week off anyway. So hopefully you can clear that bar. But from your perspective, what are you ultimately trying to build? Like if Castles doesn't sell at any point, if you just keep this team private and it's like, this is your lifetime thing, what would that look like? What would your role look like? What would your involvement be? All that.
So it's not something I've thought a lot about, but in the last, you know, week and a half since our two AEs have started, I have really been kind of like reinvigorated to really get back into the sales process a lot. I've been on a lot of calls. I've been coaching them on things. So like, I don't think I would be like VP of sales for the long term, but something I'm always trying to do is like qualify myself in or out of a job, you know, in the company. One thing I thought I wanted to do for a long time was be like head of product. And what I've found is I suck at it. Like I don't have like what you have or what several people on our team have, which is like a really critical eye for what is good and what is not. Like I'm not able to say consistently like we should do this and we should not do that and we should be, I can say like we should build this, but then like that's it. I do and I should just leave it at that. And I get a lot of input from other people at that point about like how we should build it and what it should look like and stuff. But like, I'm really enjoying sales and I think that's a pretty high leverage thing. So like in the medium term, I think what I would do is be, you know, kind of like a VP of sales kind of role, like to really just own a lot of revenue growth for us and kind of like strategize on sales and marketing tactics. It's where I come from, you know, and what I like and probably what I'm best at. So like, that would be the medium term thing, like the next few years. And then after that, like say we're, you know, 30 people or something, like I would love to get to the point where like, you know, you hear like Dharmesh Shah or, oh gracious, like the guy from WP Engine, like Jason Cohen, they just are there and they have these ideas and like they don't report to anyone and no one reports to them. And they're kind of, I hate to say like the vision, but like I think that kind of is where I would end up, is just like, this is where I think the company and the product should go generally, but then And something that I'm really embracing is like, there are people a hell of a lot better at basically everything than me. And like, I really am cool with that. The value that I bring is not doing any of those things, but kind of tying all those together and making sure we're going the right way. That's kind of where I'm going. And I think I'll hold on to like sales and marketing strategy for the longest, probably. But eventually, like, there are many people better than me at that too. So yeah, how about you?
Just quickly, for sales, once you've figured out, built out at least the start of a playbook there and have the team humming along, if you were to get in the head of sales to just own that department, would the next, not like literally the next person you would hire, but like would the next more executive role you would look for be someone who's that traction, that EOS integrator at that point? Like, is it, let me make sure all the departments have someone that can lead this, and then now let me get someone who can lead the company, or not necessarily lead the company, but run the company to finally graduate to that visionary role?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, tying it back to OKRs a little bit, you know, to say like the ultimate would be have just a super type A data-driven person, you know, as a COO or head of ops or whatever, that is the person that each kind of division head reports up to. And then me and that kind of, you know, head of ops or COO or whatever, craft the OKRs for the company and maybe even for the division every quarter. And then the team works towards fulfilling those. And then I'm kind of there to help as needed, but can't be involved day to day at that kind of scale. And we're kind of seeing it now with, you know, 16. Like, if I'm involved in something that each group is doing every day, like, I'm getting pulled 5 or 6 different directions every day. And like, it's exhausting sometimes. So yeah, I mean, I think we're getting to the point where I can't do that if we grow much more. So
yeah, and honestly, like, I feel I'm not quite as far along that path as you are, but that's definitely the place I want to get to, where it's having people in place that can run the major responsibilities of the business, and then get someone who can manage those people. And like, I feel like there's absolutely a distinction between visionaries and integrators and business owners. Not that like those visionaries and integrators can't own the business, but like, I feel like where some want to graduate to is the business owner, where you have a CEO who is a visionary, you have a COO who is the integrator, and you own the business and do like quarterly check-ins, and that you're hands off. For me, it's like that, at least right now, is not really what I'm trying to get to, because I do enjoy the visionary side of it. And I think I add a lot of value there. And so, yeah, it's like that. I'm in a similar spot to you where it's like, I do want to graduate to that more hands-off level. We would really just need to hire, for our organization, it would be having someone fill the head of growth side of the equation, because yeah, we're not going to, I mean, it depends on the directions we go down the road, but like, I don't see sales being a real part of company, like affiliates, and there's going to be relationships we have to manage with partners and stuff like that, but like, that can fall under growth. And yeah, I think like, there's still a lot we've got to figure out over this next year. And then I think at that point, it'll be me looking for someone to own that. And then that's when I think I'll finally be in the visionary role. I know we've talked about this stuff a lot, but like, if people haven't read Traction by Gino Wickman, some people, that's the book I always refer to. It is like a relatively dry book that just lays out the entrepreneurial operating system. There's another one, it's like Rocket Fuel or something, where it's more narrative driven, where it's like they tell a story.
Same guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's same guy, same thing. Some people just gravitate towards one or the other. And I think even if like we don't follow the entrepreneurial operating system, I think we'll start getting closer to that. Maybe we'll work in OKRs, like whatever. But just the idea of seeing how it's, for me, it's really that visionary integrator role separation was the most eye-opening thing in that book, because it's like, oh yeah, all of the integrator stuff I can do. I don't think I do it exceptionally. I do it well enough because I'm just like detail oriented. So I'll keep track of everything that's going on. I'll follow up and that kind of thing. But like, I don't enjoy any of that, but it's when I'm able to work on strategy, when I'm able to think at the high level and really dig into it, like that's where I get my energy. And it was just that concept from it is what's really stuck to me. And I think, yeah, it's like, that's the thing we're working towards ultimately from my perspective, at least.
Going back to like, you know, rocks or OKRs, whatever you want to call it, like the goal with those and like that whole kind of system is being able to delegate like ownership and direction to like a person or a team to where they feel good about like driving towards this thing. I think without some kind of number or goal, like it's hard for anyone to say like, oh, I own like this whole part of the business, you know, because it's just so nebulous, you know. But if you say like, okay, support and success, the goal is 3% net revenue churn. You have a lot of levers you can pull to get there, and I will help you. But that's the goal. And that's like what, when we wake up and walk into work every day, that's what we're working towards. Like I've found that to be really helpful to not make every decision around it and just kind of like push that onto to the team and leaders and say like, this is the goal. I trust that you know a lot of more about this than I do. Like, let's figure out how to make this happen and kind of leave it at that.
For the OKR example, I know it was just an example, but like 3% net revenue churn, that's the OKR for the head of success. And then the individual team, like, will they get their own OKRs that then bubble up to that? Or not get OKRs? Like, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, so not currently, right? Like only each division has one now. But when we roll out like full OKRs next quarter, every person will have several key results, you know, that will contribute towards that. And we kind of started laying those out this time, but not really. But yeah, that's the idea.
What do you think those would look like for the individual contributors on the team in that example? Is it the head will figure out some initiatives that they think will get there, and then they'll have some tasks on how to do that, like how to get there? Like that's the part I think with OKRs I've always struggled a bit with, whereas I feel like at the individual contributor level, it's tough to figure it out in the manner I feel like OKRs intend it. And then at a small company, it's like everyone's an individual contributor to some degree.
I don't know, like, is the short answer. The plan is, so for this quarter, I just came up with the rocks and talked about them in a meeting. Like nobody else had visibility in them beforehand. I think it's a little bit of a mistake. And so what I will do this quarter is I'll come up with the rocks, and then we'll have kind of this leadership meeting, and we'll talk about them and make sure everybody is bought in and agrees with them. Because I think some people didn't agree with the goals for this quarter. Once that happens, then it will be, here are some ideas of what I think like individual contributor, you know, goals or metrics could be for each of your teams. The idea is me have like a company goal, a or two maybe company goals, a division goal for each, you know, part of the company, and then let them figure out specifically what the individual contributor metrics will be that will help them achieve their kind of divisional goals.
Do you plan on doing these kind of retreats? What's schedule? Because like you're saying, there's the obvious value as it applies to the culture of just getting everyone, whether it's physically in a room or a Zoom room, whatever, but just getting everyone together to have fun, to workshop, to plan, all those different things. But then there's also the practical of like, yeah, the planning needs to be done regularly. What have you thought about for the cadence of these?
We would do an in-person retreat yearly. And so like right now, this is just a replacement for that. Doing a virtual, maybe like a virtual retreat and then an in-person retreat, you know, on the other side of the year, maybe is the thing to do. I haven't really thought about it. I don't know.
And when did you say the retreat is?
Third week in September.
Well, I'm excited, yeah, to see how that goes, because, yeah, we've been fortunate with having these like different championship events that usually at least a couple of the partners are involved in that. They get a guest. So it's like we'll get together at those almost independently of the company. And then it's like, all right, like if we have four of us going, we can just fly out the other few and just like make it a retreat. But we haven't gotten to the point yet where we've done a full company thing. It's also been fortunate where like, honestly, at most of the events or a good handful of them, some of our team members live close to those. So we're able to get them involved there and kind of cool. Get some FaceTime with them. But yeah, I think for us, it's going to be figuring out probably like in the winter when things slowed down, like early in the new year, what our own retreats will look like. But hopefully we can do something in person. Still a lot of uncertainties. And honestly, that was one of the most impressive things with FanDuel is like, it's burdens. It's an annoyance for us to go through it, but like it's proof of vaccination for every single attendee. Obviously there's still risk associated with that, but all the events are at outdoor venues. So they did a good job of managing that risk and making us feel comfortable. But for when you're getting a big group together in what's going to be like close quarters, who's coming from all over the world, all of that, there's definitely other concerns. So that's something we'll navigate down the road, I think, in a bit. This is going to be a bad segue, but I'm going to do it anyway. So there's one last thing you wanted to mention, and that was swag. What's the swag update?
Yeah, so the swag update is I did what you said, and we went with swag up, swagup.com. So we got a box that is a hoodie, a t-shirt, a journal, a pen, a sticker, and a tote bag. And they have a minimum order of 50. It's got 50 of them. So we're, 17. I have another couple investors, partners, friends that we'll be sending them to. And then the rest will be shared or saved for like future integration partners, really big customers, investors, friends, whatever. The cool thing about SwagUp is you can order it, they store it all. And then when I want to send one, I just go and say, send this to Bob, and it sends it to Bob. The only thing with it is we have to say now for the shirt and hoodie, we want 10 mediums and 25 larges. And
that's what I was going to ask is the sizing component. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have enough data to say like, this is what the distribution should be. And for our team, I did a, Google form. I know what everyone's sizes are. So like, we know what we need for sure. And then we know what their regular distribution is. So we'll take the 17 or 18 that we're going to send out for sure and do the regular distribution for the rest.
Nice. Yeah. I'm excited to see how those come out because it's like, again, I think there's a lot to say about just having really nice swag that people actually want to use rather than just some shirt that they mow the lawn in best case scenario. And so, I think this is awesome. Excited to see. You have to share some pictures once you get the first box. And they'll ship globally?
Yeah, they ship globally. The two caveats there, they ship globally, which is great, but their lead time is about 6 weeks. And so to get something to the team before the retreat, and for the day that we do our new website launch, we're ordering just a like pullover hoodie and a short sleeve shirt from Printful in the meantime. So everyone will get a box like next week with a hoodie and a t-shirt, and then everyone will get a jacket and another t-shirt in about 6 weeks.
Nice.
We'll be all swagged up. Yeah.
So, I mean, swag for the team, for customers is one thing, but it just makes me think of a book, Giftology, by I think it's like John Rulon, which is more of like a targeted gifting strategy, which can complement this well. So I'd recommend people check that out. But Craig, this was, I know we bounced around a bit, but it was definitely a fun one for me, and hopefully listeners got something out of it. If people have questions or comments, as always, you can reach out to us at podcast@seekingscale.com. But thanks, Craig, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks, everyone.